Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Did you say Hairmaster?
No, you dimwit. Airmaster.
Caremaster?
No, Airmaster.
Daremaster?
Clean your ears out. I said Airmaster.
Stairmaster?
Oops, don't try that one. It's probably trademarked by someone else. Airmaster.
Ha ha, got you on that one. I said Stairmaster. S-T-A-R-E, Master. Tearmaster?
I'm going to tear you. Airmaster!
Oh, I get it. Airmaster.
Yes, Airmaster.
But what do they do?
Airmaster Aerator, the patented aerator that makes a difference. More than an aerator, a complete waste treatment system. Airmaster Aerator. Sohegan Wood Products' two core plugs feature superior crush strength, helping paper companies reduce loss claims for pennies per roll. See their ads on Nip Impressions at www.nipimpressions.com.
This column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan, reading it for Jim. The title of this column is A Question: What Assets Are Affecting Your Performance? And here is what Jim has to say. I recently had a discussion with a longtime industry professional concerning this question: which is more important to a given mill, the technology or the management? Of course, this question can be considered only if you determine that you're in a market that has long-term prospects for growth. I argued that, within reason, that is, the mill is of an economical trim, width, and speed, and is not suffering from maintenance neglect, people are by far the more important asset. Quality and knowledgeable managers and a well-trained operations and maintenance force can beat newer equipment and systems any time. Yes, people beat physical assets. This is not what most managers want to hear. After all, they're always proposing new capital projects. They start with a phrase like this: if we only had a fill in the blank, we could make fill in the blank more quality tons per day. How many projects have you heard about that started this way and ended up not moving the needle on the net ton scales? I don't have enough fingers and toes to count all those I have seen, even after eliminating those that went over budget. On the people side, one must hire the best people and continuously train them. Hiring the best people these days often means being willing to pay a premium for them. There is a tremendous shortage of quality personnel in our industry, and getting the best ones out of their current placements and into yours involves creative approaches and high salaries. Put some of the money into a bonus system. Make them earn it. I can back up my assertions in this column in two ways. One, I can repeat the stories from years ago when I saw an excellent leadership team take a mill that was about to close and turn it around. These leaders brought about record profits and another two decades of life for a mill that was in imminent danger of closing. If you have been reading this column for a long time, you have heard these stories. The mill was a wreck, the neglect of maintenance was criminal, everyone was demoralized, and so forth. The new management team improved quality production by 50% in a year and by 125% in 2 years. No capital, not one thin penny, was expended. It can be done. I doubt that you are in a mill that is in as poor condition as that one was. In fact, it would be hard to find a mill in such a condition. Actually, the thing that saved it until the new management team arrived was an unknown, but perceived as tremendous, environmental cleanup liability that would be triggered by a shutdown. My other example of how high-quality personnel beat equipment and systems assets is an experiment you can try yourself. I thought of this while playing solitaire. Take two brand-new decks of cards. These represent your physical assets. Shuffle the first one. Then take the second one and put it in the same order as the first one you shuffled. Now you have two sets of identical physical assets. Take two players who have not seen the decks, one who has a decent skill set in solitaire, the other being not so skilled. Give each one a deck and have them play a timed game by themselves. The more skilled player may actually win, and even if not, will conclude well before the other player that the game is unwinnable. Skilled people beat physical assets every time. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2017, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Companies all over North America think of Fulton Systems for their thermocompressor and steam systems needs, all the way from initial design to startup to troubleshooting. For more than 90 years, Fulton Systems has helped companies keep thousands of thermocompressors operating smoothly and assisted mills with hundreds of paper machine rebuilds. Turn to Fulton Systems for steam and condensate system design, dryer suction performance audits, and consulting services on all aspects of dryer suction and condensate systems management and operations. Call us at 770-447-1400. Visit our website at fultonsystems.com.
Sohegan Wood Products' two core plugs feature superior crush strength, helping paper companies reduce loss claims for pennies per roll. See their ads on Nip Impressions at www.nipimpressions.com.
This column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan, reading it for Jim. The title of the column is Be Careful How You Define Your Team, Part 1. And here's what Jim Thompson has to say about that. I have had the privilege of mentoring a bright young man, actually our son, recently. When he came out of university, he worked at a boutique financial analysis firm for several years, leaving it this past winter to go to work for a company that is on a large acquisition binge. At his new employers, he and his two co-workers serve as the analysts for these acquisitions. All of the trio are under 30. He had not been there very long until he started complaining about the hours they were putting in relative to the compensation they were receiving. He had already admitted to me that all three of them had taken less than what might be considered the going rate for their positions because way up at the top of this company sits a very famous CEO. They want to put his company on their resumes. Not a bad strategy when most of your career is ahead of you. I told him the request for more salary was a losing idea. You just got there, and you haven't proven yourself yet. On top of that, you went in knowing you were not getting top dollar. I invited him over one day to sit down and tell me the whole story. I wanted to understand the makeup of the corporate group. Several things became very clear to me right away. First, this whole enterprise is a lash-up of several somewhat unrelated enterprises that have been bought and shoved together, although at the top there is a sensible and cohesive strategy for doing this. Some people in the corporate group are ducks out of water and completely unfamiliar and uncomfortable with the tasks they're being asked to do. One group in particular is led by a 30-year veteran of a certain segment of the business who is now being asked to lead something he has never led before. The young analysts do not report to this person, but they report to the same boss. This particular person is a source of some of the problems. He keeps asking these young analysts to take on one-off and ongoing tasks his own group should be doing. mistakenly thinking that absorbing these tasks makes them look like great team players, the young analyst took on this extra work. My next question was this. Let's suppose the three of you are late on one of the tasks assigned to you by your boss, and your excuse is you were busy doing work for this other group. How's that going to go down? Silence. Then I gave him the lecture on what a team is. A team is your specific small group of personnel assigned to do a specific job or set of jobs. Although I am not much of a sports fan, I can give an example from there. Suppose the quarterback notices that the water boy forgot to fill the drink containers. Does he ask for a timeout so the players on the field can do this job? No. While in the bigger picture, they're all on the same team, when it comes to specific tasks, they are not. But I wasn't finished there. There is a lot more to go in this lesson, and we'll pick it up next week. For safety this week, when a safety crisis unfolds, it is clear that the concept of team expands beyond my description above. Nevertheless, after the initial call for first responders and their arrival, all should obey the first responders' commands. Particularly in a large crisis, you don't want any one person deciding on his or her own what the response should be. Doing so can make them part of the problem, not part of the solution. Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2017, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Sohegan Wood Products' two core plugs feature superior crush strength, helping paper companies reduce loss claims for pennies per roll. See their ads on Nip Impressions at www.nipimpressions.com.
Are you facing a complex installation, expansion, greenfield project, or maintenance project? Make the smart choice. Sierra Meyer, a nationwide industrial general contractor, specializes in the pulp and paper industry. Our skilled millwrights, pipe fitters, iron workers, boiler makers, carpenters, laborers, cement finishers, operators, and a team of experienced project managers, architects, and engineers are safe, effective, and efficient on any project, planned or unplanned. Take the smart step toward getting your next project finished safely and done well. Contact C.R. Meyer at crmeyer.com.
This column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan, reading it for Jim. The title of this column is Be Careful How You Define Your Team, Part 2. And here's what Jim has to say. Last week, we talked about exactly who is defined as part of your team. This was done from the stance of making sure you don't, due to naive generosity, take on work outside your scope, and in the end do everything poorly. At the same time, you must ward off the outside work without building silos or fortresses that seed discontent. This week, we will deal with two issues that may come up as you protect your team and strive for excellence in your team's area of responsibility, as well as good relations with all of your coworkers. Let's start with this situation. Your team and you realize you have taken on assignments which you should not have agreed to do. Now you think you are stuck with these forever. Good news, you are not. Call up the person who dumped their monkey on you and, after pleasantries, say, "We really hoped we could help you out with this assignment, but it is taking away from our core work and is affecting the quality of our outcomes. So we will be able to do this for you for 2 more weeks, but by a certain date, we will stop." This person will try to get into what your core work is and what is the definition of quality of your core work. Don't fall for this trap. Block any such conversation and tell them the matter has been decided, and that's that. If they have half a brain, they know not to go on to your boss and try to renegotiate this. The other scenario I want to protect you from is the initial act of dumping something on you. The first rule when someone outside your defined team tries to dump something on you is stall. Say, let me take this up with my team and see what they say. Then your team discusses it and takes one of the following courses of action. A, drop it, make the requester call you back first, or B, tell them whether they force a call on you or you voluntarily call them. We would like to help you, but we're concerned that this is taking on too much that will affect the quality of work demanded in our core mission. Be prepared to define your core mission succinctly and in a way that completely excludes this new work. Never quickly take on new assignments that are outside your scope or core mission. The third scenario is that the person who wants to give you work does an end run and goes to your boss. In this case, you tell your boss you will have to think about it. Don't just take it on because your boss says so. Tell her that you want to think about it and we'll get back to her. Then really think about it, and depending on the circumstances, and you'll have to judge these, you either go back to her or stall, waiting for her to call again. In the meantime, get your arguments ready to fend off this new work, unless it is something you think will enhance your career with your boss. The two things that will almost always work in these arguments is to bring up the quality and schedule of your current workload. If you can succinctly argue that this new work will affect either of these, you have a chance of fending it off, even with your boss. For safety this week, last week we talked about how the team expands in a safety incident. A refinement of this is for you to ask the professional in charge of containing the safety incident how you can help. He or she will have many essential tasks that do not require special training, but do need to be done. And this may be the most important thing you can do. Be safe, and we will talk next week. NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2017, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Hello?
Hey, Pete. This is Jane at Rocky Creek.
Hi, Jane. What's up?
Actually, Pete, I was kind of surprised to find you in your office. I thought your big boiler shutdown was going on.
We got done early. What can I do for you?
That's what I was calling about. Our recovery boiler outage is coming up next quarter, and I was wondering if you had any current experience with outage contractors.
Well, as I said, we got done early, a day early, and under budget. Most importantly, we had a zero safety incident rate.
Wow, who did you use?
RMR Mechanical. They even had time to teach our own maintenance people a thing or two.
That's good to know, Pete. Got their number?
RMR Mechanical. Call us at 770-205-9646 or meet us at rmrmechanical.com. The following column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan reading it for Jim. Jim's column is entitled, Management Compliments and Criticisms Are Not Always Obvious. And here's what Jim has to say about it. When I was a little boy, my dad worked for Hobart Brothers Company in Troy, Ohio. He was in charge of a department called Welded Products. This department made the gas tanks and other welded fabrications for Hobart's line of self-powered electric welders. Later, when plastics came along, they started fabricating some of these parts too, but we will save that story for another time. Dad brought his work home with him, so to speak, and we heard about it nightly at the supper, that's supper, not dinner, table. The theme was usually the same. Dad was upset because other departments were able to purchase new equipment and his department just got their hand-me-downs and worn-out equipment. I have thought about this many times over the decades between then and now. What I think is true and what Dad missed was this. The company's actions were a great compliment to him. Dad could fix anything and make any piece of junk work and work better than it ever had before. Dad's department got the junk because they could get a few more years of life out of it. What senior manager would not love a department head that could work this magic? In my own career, I have seen managers suddenly become friendly and happy around certain employees when they were not this way before. Why this change of mood and friendliness? They had finally decided they needed to fire the employee. It was a great relief to know that soon they would not have to tolerate this person any longer. Another manager I knew would occasionally appear to go berserk for no apparent reason. I thought about this for a long time and finally confronted him. He said that if a manager gets upset about predictable matters, his direct reports will learn not to bring up those subjects that cause a bad reaction. His intent when he used his technique was to be totally random, thus demonstrating his ability to act a bit irrationally while at the same time leaving everyone scratching their heads as to what set him off. In this way, he kept everyone on their toes all the time. In my own case, I know that I often come across as being brusque and cold with employees. Actually, I swing from being brusque and cold to being overly friendly. The first mood is just me being all business. The second is me feeling guilty about being brusque and cold. In reality, neither is a good read on where I am at any given time. In my case, watch me over the very long haul. I stick with people and concepts I believe in, and I separate from those I don't. We don't have an employee here today that has been with us less than 4 years, and some have been here over 20 years. That is a message for those looking for a message. I suspect what I have said about myself is true of most managers. Many employees spend an inordinate amount of time trying to read the tea leaves of the boss's behavior. Most of this effort is a waste of time. Everyone has good days and bad days. Everyone experiences ups and downs. Don't read too much into the shallower interactions. Look for the results and reactions over the long haul. For safety this week, in the midst of safety incidents, many people say things they wish they hadn't said. Forgive them. There is a tremendous amount of stress in an active safety incident. Be safe, and we will talk next week. NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2017, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.